welcome back to the Mind Vector Podcast.
If you're a returning listener and would like to support the podcast, give us a like and a subscribe.
And if you'd like to share your thoughts, leave them on our YouTube, BitChute, or Facebook.
A little bit of lack of awareness on her part.
Okay, so now we're recording. So, yeah, we were talking about basically, how would you sum up what we were talking about?
Hoes ain't bros.
Hoes ain't bros. Yeah. That's always a good thing to remember for guys. I was telling a story with one of my exes. I had been friends with her for a really long time. And we ended up dating like after knowing each other for like at least maybe 7 years or so. But she was pretty tomboyish and everything like that. So to a degree, I had kind of forgotten she was still a girl. And it really hit me once, because one day she had the idea of like, let's watch porn together or something like that. And the second I pulled up a video or something, she's like, well, you like this or that? I don't have that in this. And it hit me. I'm like, oh shit. So something I always like remind a friend of mine, I always kind of point out to him that if you're dealing with feminists, you have to kind of remember that they're kind of like glass men, that basically the second, like, they'll want that image of a man or whatever, just as capable, just as strong or whatever, but the second it gets tested, they kind of shatter. Like, they get emotional, they're going to go back to their true nature. And I think before I had brought up the fact that some girls do that too with dudes. They'll try to feminize their male friends. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't translate well. So being able to appreciate the opposite sex for their differences, it's something that's kind of hard for people to learn.
Yeah, and like, it sounds like a little bit of lack of awareness as far as what they need and understanding where they should be seeking that fulfillment. Like the guy that wanted to feminize his friend is like, well, maybe you want a girlfriend. You don't want, or you need your mom. This is not where you should be, you know, asking for that.
Wait, there was a guy that wanted to feminize his friend?
Yeah, your friend, your buddy.
Oh, no. He wasn't trying to feminize his friends or anything. I was saying that there's girls I've dated in the past where...
Oh, that try to feminize guys?
That try to feminize guys. They try to get...
Oh, why did I think it was a dude? I'm stupid. But yeah,
it's basically people kind of not appreciating each other's complementary nature, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the way to put it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't try to change people based on your needs either. That's not, I mean, that's objectification. That's like, no, you get what you get.
Objectification, that's one of those words that, I don't know, I feel like I overthink it. I don't feel like it means anything to me.
Well, to me, it just means that you're using someone as object for your utility.
Oh, okay.
Be it emotional, be it sexual, be it, you know, just visual eye candy or whatever. It's you're not seeing it as a person, as an individual. You're seeing them as like an object of your whatever.
Yeah, just looking at them as a means to whatever need you're trying to satisfy.
Yeah, so you're objectifying them. As opposed to personal?
I guess to me, I always overthink it, because you could say at any point that someone feels objectified. Because I had a girl that I messed around with one point. She was a friend of mine for a couple years. And I remember basically when I wanted it to continue, she said she felt objectified. And I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Which, well, maybe, you know, she's like, brought it on herself.
You're a misogynist. I'm like, no.
But then if you only portray yourself as an object, then duh.
But
thoughts on Instagram?
I guess to me, when I start thinking about that term, it's like we always look at things as how we can use them. That was something Jordan Peterson was saying in one of his lectures, that we don't really see things. We always see objects. So we see utility. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that's not useful just kind of goes into our blind spot. Mm-hmm. So...
yeah.
I guess that's why when I think about objectification, because you might have somebody that, if you're interested in them in one way or another, you could say that they're being objectified, because you want to be with them. So you're still pursuing them as a way to satisfy your need for companionship, your need for sexual release, or your need for financial security, or your need for or your desire for children, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that initial attraction's gonna have some of that. But, I mean, there's still... It still depends on the other person to meet you halfway. So, it's not, like, entirely one-sided. So, at that point, it becomes more of, like, a complimentary thing once... If the other person does reciprocate. Then it's not really objectification, because, to me, objectification is just only one person benefits, and actually the other person is hurt by it. So, it just depends on how far it goes and how the other person, I guess, perceives it or... If you're both objectifying each other, then it's kind of like kind of neutralizes it.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. So what happens if you objectify each other?
Yeah, let me objectify you.
So, because a while back there was this I don't know. Here's so many crazy things come out of feminism, but they wanted to basically have this turned into a law that. If you have sex with a girl and there's alcohol in your system, or no, in her system, that it can be considered rape. So the next thing was, what if you've both been drinking and you have sex? And basically, some people were actually arguing that, no one could consent because they weren't fully sober. So it's like, what, are you going to say that they raped each other?
There you go.
So... Well, it kind of nullifies it, but as you know, I think we spoke about that, about how language has a way of influencing thought and being able to be more mindful of the language you use and stuff. And that's something I see nowadays that I think is kind of dangerous, that people
redefining words.
Well, that and the fact that at least the people that are speaking out against it are kind of doing the same thing as a way to be combative. So I think that's a little dangerous. Like, you sent me this article the other day. Breitbart was upset about the Super Bowl, saying that it was objectifying women.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I look at the thumbnail and I see, like, all these dudes are holding up this woman. And I'm like, wait, so how is it only the woman is being sexualized? Because everyone here is, like... kind of supposed to be dressed in a... Well, not dressed in a way. Showing enough skin in a way that's supposed to be sexy. So,
that's what I seem kind of... Oh, yeah, all skimpy, yeah.
But I think that's kind of like... at least the people on the right are kind of falling into this trap of... trying to use the other side's rhetoric against them. And it kind of comes, like, mutually meaningless, if that makes sense. So... You know, Nietzsche had that quote about, if you fight the monster, be careful not to fight the monster. And there's, I think that was Nietzsche, too, that said if you stare into the abyss long enough, it stares back.
Ooh.
So, you always want to make sure you don't get too lost in your enemies or your opposition's habits, because then you just kind of become the thing you're fighting. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. But I think with the Super Bowl stuff, it was, like, mostly just, like, parents and moms who were caught off guard that there was going to be, like, partial nudity, basically, on the Super Bowl halftime show, which is, like, a family, you know, event that people watch. Like, you don't expect to, like, have to send your kids off to bed if there's something weird on TV or have to cover their eyes or whatever. But I don't know. It's all, like, subjective because it's not the first time that they've pushed that kind of a, you know, line. They've told a line on that kind of thing with Janet Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. The whole Janet Jackson thing. I mean, I don't watch sports, so I don't even...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always like, oh, okay, that thing's happening again for me because I'm just so, like, out of touch with sports, but that's what came to mind too when you said that they're surprised that the Super Bowl had, like, sex appeal.
And then, well, yeah, because the primary demographic for who watches the Super Bowl is dudes. So it kind of makes sense for them to put women up there and titties and whatnot.
Yeah, and cheerleaders. It's mostly
watching.
Cheerleaders, too. They're also dressed in a way that's supposed to be sexually arousing.
And I mean, the moves and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're not out there, like, taking the shape of algebraic equations or anything, so.
It's not a circus. Not a contortionist circus.
But
yeah.
I don't watch sports, so I was kind of indifferent about the whole thing. I would think that it would just be basically if your kid is really into it with you, and if it is a family thing, I would say probably the best thing to do would be just to record it and edit out whatever you don't want your kids to see.
Because I'm gonna have to. Well, people record it anyway because they don't want to miss.
You know,
and skip the commercials or the whatever, the stupid replays. I don't know. But objectification is like, you think that word is just like overused or.
I think it's a kind of a nonsense word, but.
Just because the left overuses it, it's like, oh, you're objectifying me. So then you kind of just end up saying whatever.
In my head, I call them victim words. There's like,
right, victim.
There's like all these, there's like a victim vocabulary that comes out of the thinking.
But yeah. I mean, that it was a thing before, and I just think that their overuse and misuse of it is what probably just, it makes people numb to it, you know what I mean? Just yeah. That crying wolf and shit.
I mean, yeah, there's, people can exploit you, like, no doubt, like, people can take advantage of you, exploit you, but usually when I hear objectification, I think it's kind of a, it's one of those things that is not really anything you can do much about. Like, if somebody only wants one thing from you, I don't know if you can really argue them into a more moral position, because morals are one of those things that you, it seems like you're almost just, I don't want to say you're born with or not, but it takes a while to actually get moral cultivation, and it takes even longer for something to happen that could adjust your morals if you're on the wrong path. So,
well, see, I don't even, because here's, okay, this is a stupid thing about the whole objectification argument, is that women, we like attention in that way, you know. It's like, it's,
in that way.
Yeah, in that way, because it's, I mean, it's a source of power.
Yeah.
If you get a guy's attention and he's like, he wants it, and you're like, oh yeah, you want this? Okay, you're gonna have to do a dance. You're gonna have to jump through some hoops. You're gonna have to do this. You have to do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're gonna have to give me some money.
So
there, go kill the go kill the mice. You know, risk life and limb.
Yeah, kill my ex. You gotta kill all the exes to get through, get to me or whatever.
Was that from Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, that's a reference.
Okay, I caught
it. But if they're effectively, like, nullifying that whole premise by crying wolf about objectification. And it's like a small, loud number of people that are crying about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at the same time, you can't complain if people don't find you attractive. I mean, and these are people who are not really attractive to begin with that are like worried about this whole fucking thing, and it's like, bitch, ain't nobody gonna objectify you.
I think if you have that, victim mentality, you'll find some way. Like, you can look on Wikipedia, and there's like so many victim words: heightism, lookism, ableism. There's
the fuck.
Yeah, so basically it's when people are discriminated because they're
ageism.
High. Yeah, ageism. If they're able-bodied or not. If they lookism is basically like if they're attractive or unattractive. So,
oh my god.
So it's like, it seems like this language, I don't want to get conspiratorial because it's, I don't think there's really any one person or entity you can point to, I guess, other than just weaknesses in our own human nature. But this type of thinking, the way it uses language, it just cultivates this way of thinking that gets people reinforced into the victim stereotypes. And like one that I see a lot, at least in online dating, is fetishizing. And that's one that I think that's like a way you can be you can feel like you're a victim for being attractive or being desirable by someone. So, because if someone's just wanting one thing from you, I mean, it's, I guess if you're a little perceptive, you can kind of figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
And there's different things that I've seen people complain about when it comes to that. Like, if somebody wants to date a large woman because she's large, then they'll say, you know, don't fetishize me because I'm overweight or yada yada. And it's like, well, so what should they fetishize you over? It's like, is it okay if they fetishize you over your sense of humor? It's like, well, no, don't expect me to make you laugh all the time. So it's like, what is that way of thinking stop, you know? So I think it's just kind of, I think the language itself is just a sign of some sort of pathology, basically.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like trauma. It sounds like trauma. They're just sensitive about it. But no, like objectification is like degrading you to the point of this reducing you to one element of your aspect of yourself. And I guess with online dating, that can be kind of easy to go based on looks or whatever. And in person, I guess. But if you're just reducing someone to just the one thing about them that you like or that you're attracted to, and that, I mean, I can see that being kind of fetishizing that thing. But then you'd have to look at all the other people that this person dated or will date. If it's a repeat thing, then yeah, that's fetishizing. But I mean, who would know that unless you're like stalking the guy?
Well,
don't fetishize me.
I mean, do you really want to, I don't know, set the precedent that it's not okay for people to have preferences? Like, let's say you like, I don't know, let's say you like Brazilian girls or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still like everything about them, but that's just your preference. Let's say you just happen to prefer Brazilian girls or Asian girls or Mexicans or black or, you know, whatever group.
So you think that fetishizing is like being...
I don't think it exists. That's...
But they're using it to like replace the word...
Objectification.
Like attraction. It's just attraction, right?
Yeah, I would say it's basically their way of being a victim of being attractive to someone for whatever reason. Because, I get their psychology is that they believe that, oh, well, I'm more than just a large woman. I'm more than just a Latina. I'm more than just a waifu. It's they want to be seen as more, but unfortunately, like, at the beginning, no one knows your soul just by looking at you.
That's all they're going to see, yeah.
If they're all that advanced, then, you know, they may not like what they see if they just see straight into your soul.
The ESP.
Yeah. They just start...
So, but yeah, like, fetishize has, like, a negative connotation to it, whereas attraction has that positive connotation. So, but, I mean, there's no way to tell whether someone's fetishizing or if they're just attracted to you. That's just what they like.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's always stuff about people that make them worth it, you know? Like, everyone you know has some bad traits, but you don't just toss them all, you know, you don't toss the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
So, I think that if that's the means to which someone shows interest in you, then I don't think there's a problem with that. Because, I mean, essentially every girl says, hey, don't bang me and leave me. Because that's not a good deal for them.
Mm.
So, fetishizing, I don't really think it's one of those things that really need to be said. That's just how I see it.
Mm. But it's also like a more, I don't want to say like intense, but more like obsessive form of attraction.
But women like the attention. if you're obsessing over this, this girl that has whatever trait that is quote unquote your fetish, then you're definitely going to value that relationship more because it's going to satisfy those, that want in you.
Mm-hmm.
So it can come out in a good way. Like,
if it's a match, yeah, if they've kind of, you know, if it's compatible.
But I think the, I guess, you know, maybe I'm wrong if there is something I'm like overseeing here. I think at the core, it's just basically their way of saying, you know, don't just bang me and leave me. That's all that they're really trying to get across. So that's what I see as like the fundamental point that they're trying to make. And I just think the language that they're using is a little empty in my point of view. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be that they've been, like, burned before. I mean, I can see why a big girl might not keep a man around. But so then she might end up concluding that maybe they're just with me because I'm, you know, they're just fetishizing me, and then once they get whatever, then they leave. But I don't think that's the entire picture.
It's not limited just to size or...
No.
Whatever. Because, you know, girls do it, too. Some girls only date really, really huge guys, so...
Really?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, maybe... Yeah, and I think I know someone like that. But I was like, trying to get behind...
Girls aren't perfect. Just kidding.
I think I was trying to get behind her way of thinking, or maybe not thinking, but just instinctually why she would be attracted to, like, just bigger... Was like, even her dogs are huge. Like, the dog breed. So, to me, it seems like... And she's a tiny girl. She's
okay,
like,
I thought you were saying the dog was overweight.
No, it's like a giant dog breed.
Okay.
But she's, like, maybe 4'9". Like, I mean, she's tiny. She's real short. And then her husband is... Like, I want to say he's, like, 6'something. 6'2". He's tall. So, I don't know. To me, it just seems like a trauma kind of thing where she just wants to feel protected. And it kind of...
Well, that's...
It's kind of in the face of that, you know? If you've got a really big guy behind you, then it's like your bouncer.
With that one, I think that would be kind of like double-layered because women do like to feel safe around their guy. And if at the core level, if it's a bigger thing that... You have its attention, and it wants to make you happy, then that's going to be attractive to the woman. So I don't think that if she just happens to like taller guys or something like that, that's a sign of trauma. Now, if like there's another fetish that people have where it's called feeders and eaters. So like guys and girls get in this cycle where they just fatten each other up. And that's their whole thing. Which, you know, that one's kind of, that's detrimental because, you know, somebody
could choke.
Someone could choke. Someone could stroke. So, well, eventually, you know, the back arm on that one's going to be pretty evident. So, but that can come from that place too. And when I hear about stuff like that, I always wonder what the parents were like. Because, you know, parents are always the first relationship model.
Yeah, maybe the parents, like... Because there is a certain... No! Like, the whole feeding dynamic, right? Because kids want to please parents, and parents feel good when they are able to provide for their kids. And when just the most primal form of that is to feed your kid. Yeah. So if you have that dynamic where the kid is really just one of those, you know, aiming to please kind of babies, then... If they see that it pleases the parent for them to eat, and then that just becomes like their way of connecting and bonding, then I can see where that would translate into intimacy and just that whole fetish thing.
I can see that
because
too.
It does feel. I mean, it feels crappy when your kid won't eat. It's like, you're gonna die. I need you to eat. So it makes me happy when they're eating, or like if I'm cooking something and they really like it. So, but I'm not like going to shove it down their throats or anything. It's like, okay, if you're not hungry, just eat it later. But yeah. So I can see where that would kind of stem from parenthood. Nurture.
Yeah, I can see something for that too. That makes sense if they actually like to feel like they're actually immediately being useful. So.
Mm-hmm. The one I don't get is the one where they actually like to dress up and wear diapers and be like babies and like shit their diaper and like the whole nine yards. And then someone's actually into it and they like to take care of them as babies.
I always wonder, how do they find each other? Like, what are the odds of these two, like, matching up? Like, you ever see that on the news where it'll be like a couple that did something just heinous to their baby? Like, they, I don't know, like they left it out on the fire escape and then it froze and a bird flew into it and it shattered. Something horrible. So, it's like, how do these psychopaths or pervs find each other? No, that's another thing too. Like, I guess the whole shaming rhetoric, I was going to say, I'm not kink shaming. Whatever you're into, I really don't care. You know, just don't tax me for it. But, like, I always wonder, how do these people, like, find each other? So,
I'm sure there's websites and all kinds of code words.
Code words.
And code amulets and pins and shit that they, bumper stickers, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
They gotta put it out somehow, you know? They wanna broadcast it.
Cause yeah, like, if they're that intuitive to know that this person's gonna have the same fetish as this one, then that's...
Mm-hmm. That's well, there's tells, impressive. You know? I mean, maybe they have, like, a... I don't know, like a pacifier hanging around their neck or something. They just walk around wearing a pacifier.
It could be. I mean, you see a lot of the weird jewelry in places. They'll have like little metallic trinkets and stuff that are shaped like other things. So, yeah, that could
be. Or even like, I mean, there could be advertising too. If, I don't know, the dominatrix and stuff, they have their way of advertising. Or word of mouth, probably. I don't know.
They wear a lot of leather. Well, with that, I'm talking about, well, I guess I'm talking about the more obscure uncommon ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff like that, like the BDSM stuff, that's kind of common. And I can kind of see like why people would like that. I think it probably kind of pops them out of their bubble for a bit. So.
Yeah.
Like this video we were watching earlier, this Japanese lady said that she used to be a dominatrix, and these dudes who were super stressed out would just come to her so that she could do whatever to them. So,
Yeah, well, like beating and even massages, like if they're really intense and deep tissue massage, and like to the point that it hurts, it will release endorphins. So maybe they just need that extra, you know, stimulation to be able to feel that, just get some kind of relief through their own endorphin.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Maybe they may get off of it too. So get off on that. Kill two birds with one stone.
But yeah. So, I don't know, the whole victim thinking about everything, like the whole fetishizing thing, because like you said, women like the attention, because it does make sense from a evolutionary point of view, because if the things that are bigger and more physically capable are able to protect you and they keep your eye on you all the time, that's beneficial. So
yeah, and as women, it's like you want someone to protect you in, you know, the wild or whatever. So you want to be able to attract him, keep him, and have him loyal to you to be able to take care of you. So, but also, I think you brought this up also when talking about the Super Bowl thing, is that the whole contrast in the way of thinking that women don't want to be objectified, but at the same time, they're wearing all this, like, really seductive, like, clothing now. But in the same breath, they're like, don't look at me, you know? So I don't know if it's just exclusive to the guys that they don't want looking at them, or if it's, because if it's a hot guy, you know what I mean? If it's like the I don't know.
Yeah, really, if it's some guy you're attracted to.
They're not going
to
say that to him.
Yeah, they'll be like, go ahead and grab me by the pussy.
Right? Exactly. So. Worth a couple $1 billion? Bring it.
Yeah, exactly.
You so I think it's just
win in the bedroom or win in the courtroom.
Yeah, I think it's just more discriminatory, kind of off-putting language for those that they don't want attention from.
Yeah, and I think it gets, because when you keep following that way of thinking, eventually you get to a point where people just shouldn't have preferences and everyone should just be interchangeable. And basically, don't know, kind of like ants, except super special ants, but they're all unique and special, but they're all different, but they're all unique and special, but they're all different. It goes into this paradox that doesn't make any
It's
sense.
like, okay, well, are we the same or are we different, damn it?
Yeah.
Which is, pick one. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're.
I always
I think a lot
wonder,
of.
when it comes to language, I always wonder too, like, a lot of the time, how many disagreements could be settled if people just spoke the same language. You know what I mean? That's like, to get deeper into that, like, you have to spend time with people before you can really get that comprehension to how
Understand.
they think and
Right.
figure out which l words can land properly with them.
Yeah, like people from New York are like, fuck you to them is basically like, hey, what's up? And like for me, that's horrible. Don't tell me to fuck off. Don't tell me fuck you. That's like awful. Those are fighting words.
Yeah, like I was, there's this group I follow on Facebook, and they post all these Simpson memes, but a lot of the members are Australian, so they have like a lot of cursing in it. I've heard that Australians just curse like crazy, though, so.
Yeah. They're born with fuck you on their lip. Just right there.
Just have Thug Life tatted on their knuckles, too, or
Yeah,
the babies look like they come out of prison.
it
But.
just depends on the circles that you run, you know? I think, 'cause when I first started working at that electronics store that's out of business now. They closed up. That they cursed a lot and I was not used to it. But then like a couple months in I kind of got used to it, and then so that's when I started cursing a lot. But before that I was like, I never really cursed at all. And then so there was like a little bit of pain associated with me even just hearing the cursing. And then it didn't take that long for me to kind of like integrate and then just loosening up and just get used to it and start cursing.
Yeah, you get desensitized to it. Like,
Yeah.
I was watching a video the other night of this monk speaking to someone, and in Buddhism, like, they focus a lot more on your intentions instead of your, I guess, your form. So when monks curse, sometimes it's surprising to people from the West, but it's just like, it's just sound. You know, it's all this other stuff that your mind brings to the table that makes it off-putting. But at its core, it's sound, and it's, what you want to get out of it is the wisdom and the truth, not necessarily make sure it's in some state that really isn't all that important, or in some wrapping that's all that important. So, because you know, I know that's something that me and my grandmother used to always disagree about, because as I got older, I became more profane. So when I would use profanity and stuff like that, it would be like tour, and to me it was just confusing, because I mean, she would do stuff that was just kind of pretty messed up, but just phrase it really nicely,
Oh, wow.
and
Yeah.
it was just kind of like a miss thing for me, like a miscommunication between the both of us. So learning to speak
Yeah.
people's languages, it's useful, but at the same time, don't let their language deteriorate how you think about things.
Yeah.
So.
And that I think that's what the whole apprehension is, people who don't generally curse. And then they start hearing it and they think that that's gonna, rot their mind, or if they start cursing that that's gonna, change them in some way. But I don't know. It's just kind of like a, I don't know, like seasoning on the whatever dish. It's still a dish. It's still, good for
Yeah.
you. You're talking, you're expressing yourself. And it just depends on what the message is, or I don't know.
Could be a little bit of salt for this,
A little too salty. A little too much salt. Too much pepper.
You ever heard of the rice experiment?
No.
Three jars. Uh-uh. I always wanted to try it, but I never got around to it. People like it in kind of like the new agey circles and stuff, and like spiritual circles, because I mean, it's interesting if it's true and there's nothing else to it, but people said, I don't know, I've heard that it's been replicated by a lot of people. So mm-hmm. basically, you get three jars of rice and you write something on each one of them. I think you write, I love you on one jar of rice, and you write, okay, or well, not okay. You write something that's kind of different. Like you can write hello. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, you write, I hate you on the third jar of rice. Mm-hmm. And every day, you walk up and you say those things to the jar of rice. And supposedly, the rice that you say, I hate you to, is the one mm-hmm. that ends up getting, that basically goes bad faster. So. Oh.
I think I've seen things with plants. Like plants, I mean, you don't think of them as like an emotional whatever, but they still pick up on like vibrations. So it's like, if you treat a plant nicely, it will grow like faster. So I'm curious as to if you do like the opposite, another plant in a different part of your house or something, if it would like die or some shit. I mean, like the way you treat things and your vibration and your...
The energy you're giving it?
Yeah, the energy.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good question. Because, you know, there's all these things I guess my rational mind tries to inject into it. But if they're actually doing that in a way where that's mm-hmm. what's happening, it's interesting because it makes you really wonder about, like, the power of intentions and vibes and all that. Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, some people make the argument that maybe they didn't seal the jar properly on this one. But if everybody's doing that and it's happening repeatedly, then it's kind of surprising. I have to look more into it and see if there's cases of where that doesn't happen. It's stuff like that that kind of keeps me from being like full blown atheist. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's more to the world than we can sense, maybe.
Yeah, all that to say that you should look at people's actions more than what's coming out of their mouth. Although I rethink that sometimes because if you're gonna walk the walk or talk the talk, then why would you say something that is kind of not in line with your belief? You know, if you don't actually mean fuck you, then why would you say it? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And I don't know. I guess for an autistic, I'm not autistic, but if you said that to someone who was autistic, they would actually take you for your word. You know what I mean? So if you want to properly present yourself accurately to people that don't know you, then you're not going to be that comfortable, I guess, anyway. But I don't know. It's just kind of, it's what Jordan Peterson says. It's like, speak clearly and speak accurately and be truthful. So.
That's true.
Because it's an extra step to have to try to interpret somebody's intention when their language is not kind of, it doesn't really match up. So, I don't know. It's annoying to me a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's consistency. Everyone likes consistency because you don't want to be guessing. But at the same time, I guess sometimes people can be more abrasive in their persona opposed to how they actually are.
So right, and the exact opposite. Yeah, if they're like super nice in your face and then stab you in the back when you turn around.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So
those are the ones you want to watch out for. The nice ones.
The people
someone's
that
too nice for no
never
reason.
Curse and always just kind of speak with a silver tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean. And plus, too, another thing, too, is just sometimes it's humor. If it's a non-threatening situation, you don't always have to be serious all the time. But, again, part of humor, too, is that it shows some degree of understanding what the other person is thinking. So, if they know that that's not really you, or that you're being a little ironic or something like that, then they may get it, or they may think that you're being serious. So,
yeah.
it's one of those things. It just comes down to kind of figuring out people as you go on, or as you grow the relationship with them.
It's funny because growing up, when I first started cursing, like as a teenager in my mom's house, she would get mad and she would like curse almost back. Slap us. No, she wouldn't curse back. She would just get mad at us cursing and not want us to curse in English. But in Spanish, she was like cursing all day. It's like, well, you curse all the time in Spanish. But to her, in her mind, it was just like the way she talked. So, but for some reason, hearing it in English was like so bad to her. So, I don't know.
People are a mess.
People are a mess.
That's all I can say.
Hypocrites.
It's like, saying things is bad, but, you know, just popping the kid in the face, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people, they have their heads on sideways and backwards a lot of the time, so you never know what you're going to get. Yeah, I think I got slapped once as a kid because I said lie. Like, oh when God. I was young, it was just over the top. Like, when I was a little kid, I got popped or reprimanded for saying but, like B-U-T-T. If I said but, if I said shut up, or if I said lie, those were all considered bad words. So.
Was this your mom or just your grandma?
Well, a little bit of both. But now my grandmother would find other
reasons. Your grandma raised your mom, so it trickled down.
Pretty much. It's trickled down abuse.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But trickle down trauma.
Yes.
But it was mostly with my mom though. My grandmother, she would just she would kind of hit me for other stuff. Like if I didn't understand something she was trying to say.
Pay attention.
Like she.
Oh my god.
She was pretty country, so. Like I remember one time. I ended up straying too far from the house before she had to go to church. Mm-hmm. So I had made friends with the kids that were around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't in line of sight from the front of the house. So she went in and she had told me not to be up and down the street. And usually mm-hmm. when she said that, she meant I was out of line of sight or around the corner from her. So this mm-hmm. one time before she was going to church, I was only across the street. So she ends up calling me home and then just, you know what a switch is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she gets like a switch and just like starts going at me. And damn. Then I go outside and I'm just sitting on the porch and then... some of the neighborhood kids come by and they're like, what are all those marks on your legs?
Oh my God.
So basically she was upset that I had
disobeyed.
Yeah. But I had no idea what she meant by, don't be up and down the streets. So I don't know, I guess like stuff like that, since my family was its own brand of fucked up, I guess I got pretty good at trying to like focus on what do people mean more so than, what are they actually saying? So it also helps when it comes to reading people too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm. Yeah, be like, I need clarification. Is this what you mean?
Well, damn. Yeah, sometimes I can kind of see, I feel like I can kind of tell a little bit before they clarify. So I'm like, eh, mm-hmm. I have to watch out for this or that with certain people.
Yeah, there's a little bit of correlation with trauma and emotional like IQ, just because it's like survival, you know. So you kind of have to
raise it.
You want to get ahead of it before it comes at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're like on alert a little bit.
Yeah, it's just some of the saddest things too, because mm-hmm. think about it across nature, like some of the nicest dogs, you know, the ones that have been abused.
Mm.
So
yeah, and they just want
to not they be just it. Want
to... Pretty... Yeah.
So Same thing too, like even in dating, like you find girls that have been like really abused, and a lot of times they're really sweet, so.
That's how they get you. Then they go psycho on you.
That's how they get you.
So they get you.
I mean, sometimes, I mean, they won't be perfect because obviously they have all these other things that kind of distorted them. Everybody's got their trauma, so.
Yeah, everybody's got some kind of trauma. What I don't get is why some people feel the need to like broadcast it by like getting tattoos. It's like broadcasting it to everybody. Like everybody has something. Why tattoos?
Tattoos are one of those things I never really understood. I know some people like them though, like on across the sexes. I know some guys like girls with a ton of tattoos and
But the guy
vice
you
versa.
will already have like some ink on.
But
Usually.
I don't know exactly what that is. I like bare skin more than this one's kind of serial killer, but
I want my lampshade to be like,
unblemished
nice. Unblemished.
perfection. No, like
Here's some lotion. Rub it
right,
on.
or you get the hose again, or you get the switch again. But basically, I prefer without. I think just the skin itself looks better than all the ink and drawings and stuff and quotes
The
and.
quotes
Yeah, people put quotes and names and
and all the butterflies and music notes and
yeah,
stars.
and Indian symbols.
Mandalas.
Yeah,
Teardrops.
and Japanese symbols. It's just stuff I never really understood why people like.
Flame.
Because
Cheetah print.
I guess to me it always felt like I don't know, like you're trying to add something there when, because you're not able to kind of appreciate what is there. I don't know what it
Ooh.
is. I don't know what it is with me and why tattoos are something that I'm actually attracted to. I don't. And face tattoos, those are just kind of like the uniform for prison. So.
Good Lord. Yeah, I would never, even if I had, because I used to want tattoos, but I was just like too picky to commit to like an artist or a design or just whatever. Because I change my mind so often. So, anyway, even if I had a bunch of tattoos, I would never get them on my face. I
This
had piercings. I did a lot of piercing because I was like, well, you can always just take it out and it's like it's never there.
yeah, it'll just heal. Activate voice, it'll just heal up. So,
So I did those, but I never could quite commit to like a tattoo. Not even like a tiny one, like just like fuck it. If I'm gonna do it, it's gonna look good and it's gonna be badass and it's gonna be big and like I wanted to do like a big design on my back or something.
what did you get close to putting on your back?
It was like some kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen like the white ink, like the white tattoos. So I wanted to do something white. Because all it does is it looks like a lighter, like almost like a scar. But
Okay.
it wasn't a scar, but I wanted to get like a big dragon because I'm like the year of the dragon or whatever. But so I've always liked the dragon or just like a big design, like I don't know, something. But because I didn't want like all these little patchy, just random fucking. I don't like that. I like a big, I guess like the murals, like they did in the like in Japan and stuff. But I
Okay.
just wanted like a simple outline kind of thing, like a white. I don't know. I've seen it online and it looks cool because it's real subtle. But it's if it's big, it like I don't know, it looks more impressive. But
So.
for me, I'm kind of the opposite as far as bare skin. I think people look better with like something on, like lingerie or like, I don't know, something. It's just
Well,
kind of more eye
when I
candy.
say bare skin, like opposed to like, ink
As
and
opposed to having ink, yeah.
so.
I agree there. But
Yeah.
as far as like porn and stuff, like I don't know. I like lingerie more than like a naked body. I don't know.
Have you ever seen the masturbation trick that religious people use? They call it bubble porn. So what they will do.
Bubble porn.
Yeah. So like, let's say you have like some model or some girl. What she would do is she would be like in a either nude or in a bikini, but she will, they will pop out like circles where her breasts are, where her vagina is, and her ass. So the reason they do that is because it's a loophole in the dogma because they're not looking at porn.
Wow.
That's what they tell themselves anyway. And basically the you know, the idea is that your mind will just kind of fill in everything there. So
yeah,
it's one of those weird workarounds.
That's so funny. Kind of like it sounds kind of like teenagery.
Yeah,
like what the kids would do.
Yeah, I mean, you're young. That's what you always hear. God's watching, so don't do things like that.
So, do you watch a lot of porn?
Define a lot.
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, it's like, it's always up there, right? Like, it's, even when you don't want it up.
What porn?
It's like, ads. Yeah. Oh. Like, pop-ups and... Well, I guess it depends on what you're looking at, but...
Yeah, I only get porn pop-ups when I go to porn sites, so... I don't know what parts of the internet you're going to.
But no, you know what I mean. Like you could just be browsing to like Twitter or something, and then somebody's, like, soliciting.
Oh, you mean like the... Well, they don't...
Like, follow it. Like, just you get a follow, and it's, like, this cam girl or something trying to...
Well, I wouldn't consider that porn. It's just capitalism.
Because sex sells.
Yep. So.
Well, yeah, that's porn too. It's a whole, the whole industry.
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't consider that porn. Yeah, I mean, sex is everywhere. So, when it comes to the Super Bowl thing, don't know exactly what the future is going to look like with that, because it's just been becoming more and more normalized. So.
Well, I don't know, because, like, there are some artists that don't flaunt, you know, they don't, I don't, to me it seems like a compensation for talent.
show
that much skin and base their popularity on that image.
Maybe.
As opposed to, you know, and I'm thinking of, like, singers in particular, but, and there are artists, good artists out there that don't. Do like use sex appeal to sell themselves.
I mean,
like Billie Eilish comes to mind, and she's very like, she's very covered up. Like, you don't see anything. She's very baggy and just, I don't know
who that is.
She's not. She's a pop singer. she's really popular right now.
Oh, okay.
So, actually, I like her music. She's got, if you ever listen to like her acoustic sets, they're really good.
I mean,
but
not
I
all.
I actually prefer them to her, like, regular stuff. But
there's a lot of female singers out there that don't sexualize themselves. So.
Yeah, Adele.
I've heard that name. She made Adele. Hello, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And, who else? Sia, I think.
She did some Eminem songs, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Did she have a music video where, I don't know if that's actually her or not, but...
She sings that chandelier song.
Never heard of it.
I Want to Swing from the Chandelier. She's got a really powerful voice, but it's kind of high-pitched.
Oh, okay.
You probably heard her music, you just don't know. It's her, but... Yeah, she's one of them that doesn't... She doesn't even, like, show her face. She's just, like, in costume.
Okay, maybe that was her. I think I saw some music video where they had, like, a model representing her or something like that. So, I don't know if the girl was burned or had a skin condition or what it was. But that was supposed to be her whole thing, is that she doesn't show her face. So, yeah, I think she was in that Eminem song, Guts Over Fear or Beautiful Pain. So,
yeah, I think she was in, like, one of the Kanye West... his church thing.
Mm-hmm.
She did a pop-up on one of those. singing gospel music and stuff. So, I don't know. It just depends on people's values, I guess.
And their talents. So, I mean.
And their talent, yeah. If you've got talent, you don't need.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to put a little extra with it, that's. They can go with it. So.
Because
yeah.
There's like, I mean, there's a difference between, like, beauty and just straight up sex. You can look at a young, sexy chick and not think of her as beautiful. And then at the same time, turn around and see like an older, you know, 40 something, 50 something woman that's starting to show her age. She's may not be as sexy, but you can still see her as beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's like that. There are two different things that sometimes will get conflated. And then there's talent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess whatever you're looking for, I guess, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so.
So in that sense, it's like porn is just providing, like, pure physical outlet. Not so much, like, an inspiration of anything else, which is what, to me, beauty is. It does more.
Oh, okay.
It just does more. It teaches you a little bit deeper. There's more depth to it. As opposed to just sex. It's more like.
Yeah, I could see that. That'd be pretty interesting. That's an interesting definition for the word beautiful, that it gives you some type of inspiration or motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. So
You dig it.
Yeah, I would say a song could be beautiful. I don't know if. I would say that
a
about.
A song?
Yeah,
we're talking about physique here. Aesthetics.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, because, well, I would take beauty to be more conceptual then. Because if it's just physical, then you can see a really good looking porn star that might inspire you to work out or something like that. So,
yeah,
then you could say that, oh, she's beautiful. But I wouldn't really, I don't know, it seems kind of, it's not my personal language to say that, though.
To say that, yeah,
because say a porn star is beautiful, so
yeah. But you would say that to like a regular girl.
Yeah, like, if it's some girl that whatever. I'm emotionally invested in, yeah.
You wouldn't say, "Hey, you're sexy," because then that's like.
I would say probably both, if I'm invested in her. So.
Because to a woman, that just sounds like, okay, you just want sex.
Right.
But if you use different terminology, then like more. You know, beautiful, then it's more, like, oh, okay. He wants to look into my soul.
Spoiler alert, like, everything is a man saying they want sex. You ever hear a Chris Rock skit? Like, if you tack on everything a man says with want some dick after it, then you understand a man. So,
yeah.
A lot of girls.
Yeah, but you gotta play the game.
Yeah.
You gotta play the game to get close.
Suppose. Come full circle about being consistent with your actions and your words.
There you go.
Gotta play the game.
Means to an end. Means to an end.
Yeah. Get the sex without objectifying them.
There you go. It's like Chris Voss negotiation tactics.
Yeah, I still need to watch more of those videos. I know you showed me.
They're really good. They're really good.
Yeah, you said he used to be a hostage negotiator.
Mm-hmm. FBI hostage negotiator. So he's probably really good at talking up ladies. Because you gotta kind of get into the other person's head, but like simultaneously steer them in the direction that you're wanting them to go in for a desired outcome. Which is manipulation, but if they're willing to play along, then is it really manipulation? Same thing with objectification.
Again, that's why it comes off a little abrasive sometimes, but that's why I'm just clear about my intention. Because they can't say, well, you're manipulating me. Like, how? I told you that I just want this. So it's like, you know,
but you were willing and consenting.
It's our way along.
Yeah, that's true. These days, usually you need full-on consent, like 100%.
And a lawyer.
And a lawyer.
And a contract.
And a camera. More like a camera.
A camera.
Like proving. See, she was consenting.
Yeah.
So, there was no.
It's funny. So many laws that it's just new problems. Because that's illegal too if you record. They don't know. Because there's like revenge porn laws coming up. So.
Well, if you're not like uploading it anywhere and you're just keeping it as a, you know.
Doesn't matter. I mean, if someone hacks into your phone and spreads it, she's going to blame you regardless. So.
Crazy times. Crazy times.
Yeah. More laws, more problems.
Yeah. But I was going to say, like, that's the fun in dating is like playing avoiding that.
Prison. Just kidding.
Oh my God. Yes, it's a lot of fun to stay your ass out of prison. But like the whole nuanced game of getting to a point without outright saying it and having that person reciprocate. You know what I mean? It's like a nuanced level to it. But that's, I guess, in online dating is not as clear cut as in person.
It depends on the girl. Like, it kind of depends on what level she's at. So, a lot of girls will appreciate, like, subtlety. Mm-hmm. They appreciate subtlety a lot more than just this or that, so.
Being too direct.
Yeah, too direct. So, it looks like we're coming up on the 1 hour mark. We're going to go ahead and close that here. So, everybody that tuned in, we thank you for spending your time with us. If you enjoyed the podcast, you would like to support us, give us a like and a subscribe, and leave your thoughts in the comment section, and we'll speak with you guys on the next episode.